Bonjour.
Hello and welcome to So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week, the police raided the offices of Les Insoumises, the left-wing party. And that didn't go down very well with this leader, Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
And a new measure to improve air conditions in France's major cities will car tolls save its inhabitants from pollution.
And we also have the verdict in a murder case that was most talked about in Monaco. But first, we finally have a new government, Sarah.
It took some time. Weeks ago we said that this was going to happen very soon.
Yeah. It didn't.
It did not happen very soon. It went on and on for more than 2 weeks.
Absolutely. But now finally, President Macron and Prime Minister Edouard Philippe, they agreed and found the right candidates for the job.
Well, at least they did find some candidates for the job.
Yeah, because that was a trouble as well, because they asked many people to become a minister.
Yeah, it sounds like, at least from what we've been hearing in the media over the last weeks, that a lot of people were asked, but refused to actually enter the government.
Yeah, I read that there were about 10 people who refused to become a minister under Macron. What does that say about Macron and his government?
I think there are several things you can read it in several ways. I mean, one fact is that Emmanuel Macron doesn't have the political experience and the decades-long personal links and connections to people that other presidents have had, where, you know, when things starting to get a bit rough, you can always rely on your old friends from, you know, back in the days. But Emmanuel Macron, 40 years old, no long political career behind him, he doesn't have those friends. So yes, I think it's a fact that, you know, it shows that sometimes being new and being new in politics isn't that easy, and especially not in that kind of position.
Yeah, I also read that he asked Claire Chazal as a minister of culture. She is a very well-known TV personality, but she said no as well.
Probably for the best, I don't know. No, but then there is also, of course, the another way of seeing this is that there has been a lot of bashing and criticism of the Emmanuel Macron government ever since it took office, or ever since he took office. The fact that, you know, it has been described as chaotic and inexperienced and amateurish or anything. So in one way, maybe you could say that, well, the bashing has worked because people are now afraid of entering and being, you know, linked to this government. Truth or not true, whatever. Since we're not in government, we can't really know and can't really say what is happening inside. But it's for sure that the image of the presidency has taken a big, big toll, not only over these last couple of weeks, but even before. And that has made people and politicians a bit afraid of, you know, entering this
machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple of new people. Some of the old ministers left. Some of them were replaced by people who were already in the government. Let's have a look at a couple of the new members of the third government already, of Edouard Philippe. First of all, the new interior minister. Now, Gérard Collomb, he resigned 2 weeks ago. We talked about that. A very loyal supporter of Macron, also the mayor of Lyon. He left completely, chic way. Just send a text message or something.
It's not
like
very gallant.
Not very gallant, indeed. So it took a while to replace him because, of course, the interior minister is very important, probably the most important minister after the prime minister. Who is he?
Well, it's Christophe Castaner. And for those who remember, we actually did talk about Christophe Castaner as a possible replacement. We did say...
So it shows that we know what we're talking about,
well,
right?
I also said that many say that he is too inexperienced.
Okay.
But, you know, it ended up being Christophe Castaner. But we were right in a little bit regarding the fact that he's inexperienced, because he has been put with a babysitter, we can say, because he is not... He's the interior minister, but at his side, to sort of help him in this position, he has gotten an experienced man from the domestic intelligence world. So yes, Christophe Castaner, very close to Emmanuel Macron, one of the as well one of, part of the beginning. I mean, the, those who in the support him in the beginning, but maybe not with the experience that is necessary for interior minister when it comes to security issues.
He is a former socialist, very loyal to Emmanuel Macron, so that he was basically rewarded for his loyalty. And of course, there are some important tasks that he will have to fulfill. First of all, there's of course the security situation, but also the introduction of the neighborhood police, something that exists.
Reintroduction.
Yeah, reintroduction. Very controversial in France. So bringing the police back into the streets, closer to the people, but also the upcoming European elections. He was the head, or maybe he still is, of La République En Marche.
He resigned.
He already resigned. Okay, so he was leading the political party of Emmanuel Macron. Now, this party is not doing really well in the polls. Well, not as good as they're supposed to be. They're now at the 21% for the European elections. And Marine Le Pen is 20.5%. So she's really close. And these are in May. And also, well, the relation between the police and the government are not really good.
You it's know, called it's here in France the malaise within the police. And it's no, and I mean, it is true that the police force and, you know, the gendarmerie, which is the military police, have been under an extreme pressure and stretched to their maximum, especially since the 2015, when we had several terrorist attacks in France. And there has been, I mean, the amount of overtime that is not hasn't been paid.
Millions and millions of
enormous.
Hours.
So people just continue to work and do their overtime, but they never get the chance to actually either take time off or get paid for it. So this is a big, big issue. And this is something that the new interior minister will have to deal with. But what it sounds like is that, at least what I've heard from the police unions, is that they're quite optimistic regarding this new duo, should say, with Christophe Castaner and Laurent Nunez, as his name is, the former head of domestic intelligence.
Then there's the Ministry of Culture and Communication, very important in France, culture being one of the biggest budgets of the government. Françoise Nyssen, she was sent away.
Well, yes, but she's involved in this scandal regarding undeclared work in her old workplace. So it's sort of became a bit of a media circus around her, and I think, it got not possible to continue in that way.
Yeah, and apparently she was not a good manager at the Ministry of Culture. There are a lot of big egos at the ministry, apparently.
Probably not a very easy ministry to deal with
very
either.
Very pretentious as well.
For her, to her defense.
So the new minister is Franck Riester. He's a right-winger. He's a former member of the UMP, so the party of Sarkozy, now called Les Républicains.
That he formed his own little branch of, we should say. After the elections, he actually created this Agir party or wing, which is a party of the Republicans, of the Conservative Party, that wanted to work then more closely with the government, with Emmanuel Macron.
Yeah, and closely linked also to Alain Juppé, the former prime minister. And he was also the first French MP in 2011 who came out as gay. Then there is a lot of talk about Emmanuel Vargon.
Only for her name, which is
rhymes
a bit. something to talk about it.
Exactly. She's 46 years old. She's been appointed junior environment minister. But it's more her previous job that is causing, not a scandal, but people are talking about. She was the head of public affairs of the big French dairy group Danone. So why is this a problem, Sarah?
Well, if we just roll back the tape a little bit and remember what happened just a little bit more than a month ago when the old environment minister resigned, Nicolas Hulot. He resigned and he said it was partly, or mostly, because of the influence of lobbyists within the government and especially within in these issues when it comes to environmental issues. So that was a big thing. And Emmanuel Wargon, now entering the environmental ministry, is controversial because she has, in her previous job, as you said, defended the use of palm oil. This, as we know, a very controversial product that is used everywhere, but is also leading to deforestation in many countries and part of the big global environmental issues.
You can never do good, eh? If you have no experience, then you're not good. If you have experience,
but the fact is, I think we need to be a little bit more measured when we look at Emmanuel Wargon. She worked 3 years for Danone. That is true. Danone is not a lobbying firm. It's a private company that is, as you said, a dairy company. She did not defend palm oil generally. She defended it very particularly in the use for baby formula.
In a panel, so it was like a debate.
It was a debate, and she said that we can defend the use of palm oil in these particular products. You can be against it, you can be, but I think the discussion needs to be a little bit more measured. And also, she worked 3 years with Danone, but what did she do before that? She has had a full career in public service. She actually went to school the same promo as Edouard Philippe, the prime minister. So she's come from a very classic public service career before entering Danone. But we will see what happens. She's very, very criticized. We will see.
And then, the last one to mention is maybe the youngest minister ever in modern French history. That's Gabriel Attal. He's only 29 years old, and he is the new minister of youth.
That's
fittingly, right? Yeah. So this is the new government. It was a bit of a headache for Macron and Philippe to get this far, but it was not as difficult as it was for our next politician.
Now, so we said it's been a rough week for French politics. It's been a physically tough one for some.
Especially for Jean-Luc Mélenchon. He's the leader of the Insoumise, the, how would you say it in English? The
Unbowed France party, I think some are translating it.
Yeah, and the Unsubmitted ones. It's a strange name. But he is the leader. He's well known in France as a left-wing politician. He was also a candidate last year at the presidential election.
Firebrand. I think we might, he's a very...
passionate.
Yes.
Hot-headed. Explosive.
I don't know, charismatic, if you like that kind of
big
activism.
Mouth. He has a big mouth. He's always complaining at journalists. But this week, French prosecutors announced that they were investigating him. And he actually, they raided his home and also the party headquarters. And that led to a really explosive confrontation. Let's have a listen.
La République, c'est moi! C'est moi qui suis parlementaire! Poussez-vous là, ouvrez-moi cette porte!
So that's Jean-Luc Mélenchon saying, "I am the Republic. Do not touch me. I am the Republic." And this was, these raids, though, they went on almost for full days, went different places. And they led to some quite tough interaction between then police and supporters of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, and as we could hear,
and even MPs himself. And we all know this because everything was broadcast live on Facebook.
Exactly. He was filming everything and making sure that it went straight out on the internet. These raids actually go back, they go back to two different stories. One is an investigation into the funding of his campaign up to the 2017 presidential election, where there is some questioning about money having been used as it has to, according to very strict laws. The other investigation is into one that actually started with the far right at the EU, at the EU in Brussels, where political parties got money from the EU for work, for the parliamentarian work in the EU. But then this money was actually used for party work in France.
Which is forbidden.
Which is forbidden, exactly. And this started with the National Front Party, so Marine Le Pen's party. But then when they got under investigation, they actually denounced other parties, such as Jean-Luc Mélenchon's party and also the Modem party, the center party here in France.
Mélenchon was attacking, at least verbally, the prosecutor, who was, of course, during the raid, but also police officers. A lot of people have been, shocked by his attitude. The prime minister, Édouard Philippe, he said that these police officers were just doing their job. But Mélenchon, he said he had no regrets. He had a short speech in parliament this week. And of course, he was applauded not only by his own party, but also by the former Front National, Marine Le Pen, who are in the same situation because their offices were also raided earlier this year. And Mélenchon says it's a political plot against me, but the offices of La République En Marche, they were raided this summer as well. Following the Benalla affair. So basically the police is just treating everybody equally. They're raiding all the political parties.
He has also said that he has Mediterranean genes, which explains his very dramatic acting during these raids.
He blames it on his genes, but he also says that he's fighting racism. So this is the story of the very explosive Jean-Luc Mélenchon this week.
Écoutez SoFrench.
You are listening to SoFrench.
The population in the big cities like Paris and Lyon, Marseille, they're all suffering from pollution. Many things have been tried to fight pollution, but one thing always was a taboo in France, and that is charging cars who are entering the city. Now, this may change.
Yes. Well, it's a new suggestion at least. Well, it was always allowed for cities to have trial periods, but it could only last for about 3 years, I think, which is a bit short to make a proper estimation of the impact of it. But a new proposition then would allow cities to start using these congestion taxes or car tolls or whatever you want to call them. Something that already exists in several European cities like Milan, Stockholm, London. What do you think, Stéphane? Is this something that is likely to work in France?
Well, it could work, although the problem, of course, in Paris is that all the jobs are in Paris and a lot of people live in the suburbs. So critics say that it will punish people living in the suburbs because they are the one who will have to pay. But they are also the ones who pollute, of course. In London, it's the congestion charge already existing for about almost 20 years. You pay about £11.50. What happens there is that traffic did decrease a little bit, but now with the economic growth the last couple of years, it just has increased again. So it's not really working. It's too cheap. But it may work. Especially in Paris, there are a lot of alternatives, very good public transportation. If you live close in close suburbs, you can take the bicycle.
Well, and the thing is, this kind of measure also has to come with other measures, of course.
Yeah.
They have to have parkings outside of the city. So for people who come from very far can actually leave their cars outside of the city center, which is very important. And that is one of the major issues today because they don't really exist. Or they only exist, for example, if you are parking, if you go every day. But if you go twice a week or something, it's more difficult to have a parking contract in those big parkings. So that is of course something that has to come with it. Stockholm has this kind of tolls or taxes since I would say more than 10 years at least.
And does it work?
Well, it has worked in the sense that it stopped the increase of traffic. It grows a little bit, but they say that this increase actually goes with the increase of the number of people, of inhabitants.
Yeah.
But, you know, the major explosion of traffic has been stopped. But one of the major issues of this of these systems is the cost. Because I know that in Sweden, for example, in Stockholm, the cost for the, you know, the setting up all these toll stations and everything, it got four times more expensive than it was planned for to be in the beginning. So actually, you put in place something where you say that, well, the money that we get from this will go into investment of other things or infrastructure, etc. But actually, it ended up being a very, very, very expensive thing.
But did the air become cleaner, or is it hard to define?
I think it's hard to measure, because it also comes at the same time as other things, other main routes have been opened around Stockholm, which some say then actually boosts traffic even more, because it becomes, it's even easier to come to Stockholm and, you know, around. So I mean, if you build more roads and better roads, you actually get more traffic as well. So it's always very, very complicated to measure these kinds of things. They say in some parts there is less traffic jams, other parts there are more traffic jams today. But one thing I think you can say for sure, as living in Paris, something has to be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, is this kind of tolls the solution? I don't think so. I think it maybe could be a part of a big package of many solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least, well, the city of Paris has been asking for this for a very long time. So it's very likely that we will see a congestion charge in Paris as well. They're now talking about €5 a day. So that's not a lot of money. But it's a beginning. And like you said, it's just one small part of what should become a bigger package to fight pollution in the big cities. Four weeks ago, we spoke here at So French about murdering millionaires in Monaco. And that was the story of the 77-year-old Hélène Pastor, Monaco's richest woman. She was killed in 2014 in a mafia-style hit. A couple of suspects were arrested, and after a court case that lasted almost the entire month, the French judges reached a verdict this week. Well, Sarah, I know you're really fascinated by the story.
Well, I am now able to, you know, take a breath and, you know, leave. It's been 5 weeks of very intense media coverage of this of this trial. Up until the very end, this case actually was turned on its head several times. As we spoke about this case a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the main suspect in this case is then Hélène Pastor's son-in-law, Wojciech Jawinowski. He had, during interrogation in 2014, actually admitted to the crime, but he then withdrew his testimony and was denying having any implication in this murder up until the very end. And I said the very end because what happened during the last day of this, or the day before the last day of this trial, is that he completely changed his story and had his lawyer, a very famous French lawyer, I must say, read out his confession of having, you know, ordered this killing by using, well, using his personal trainer as a middle hand, and then, you know, several hitmen then to actually commit the murder. A tearful confession. Well, he was crying, the lawyer was speaking, everybody was taken aback.
Very dramatic.
But I think at the end of the day, a very big relief for everyone involved, because so he was convicted to life in prison.
Why did he kill the Hélène Pastor?
Well, this is all a question of money. Well, he was trying to say that he did it only for the because the mother-in-law was terrorizing his poor wife, as the prosecutors pretty well managed to prove, I think, during this trial, is that it was all about the money. He had some pretty bad business deals behind him, and he also knew that since he wasn't married to his partner, who was then the daughter of Hélène Pastor, if she would pass away for some reason, and she was ill, she had a cancer. He would lose everything. He would lose the monthly payouts that his mother-in-law gave them. So he was trying to sort of change destiny, I guess, in one way. But so he was, as I said, convicted to life in prison, and several of his accomplices were convicted to decades in prison as well.
And it was not only Hélène Pastor who was killed, but also her driver.
Yes.
Right. So this is the fascinating story. And this is the end.
Well, I think we think this is the end, yes. Years of investigation and waiting for this trial that maybe finally can be left behind.
Now let's finish with some culture and some sport, and the two of them. Kylian Mbappé. He was in the news this week in a positive way. Well, he's always in the news in a positive way.
Well, until now, he's always been in the news for a positive way. I mean, he's France's French football's poster boy. And I think France is, big new positive hero, I would
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kylian Mbappé. He's on the cover of Time magazine this week as a next generation leader. Beautiful photo, black and white photo. But he also went back to his suburb, Bondy, where he comes from.
Where he comes from. And, for anyone who knows Paris, Bondy is not one of the glamorous Parisian suburbs. Quite the opposite. It's a very a lot of social problems, very, very poor neighborhood and a poor suburb to Paris. He grew up there. He started playing football there not too long ago because he's so extremely young.
He's only 19. Yeah.
So he wasn't
world that long champion.
So this week he actually went back to meet with the kids for whom he is now, of course, the biggest, biggest star on earth.
Yeah. Well, not only to him, I think for a lot of French, and even my son of 4 years old, he knows Kylian Mbappé. This is the only football player he knows.
The biggest event in the town's history, said Bondy's mayor when Kylian Mbappé was meeting with his fans.
Yeah, and he's also, he's not only a great football player, but he's also a great personality because there were some interviews with him before the World Champion, the World Cup this summer, and he comes across as somebody who's very calm, he knows what he's doing, very humble. And in the interview with the Time magazine, he said, "My life has been totally turned upside down, but I'm happy and I'm living the life I've always dreamed of." And it's true, he's such a...
Very humble.
Only 19 years old, and this is already football's biggest star, I think. Kylian Mbappé. Well, that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News, and you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and from this week on, even on YouTube.
This list just gets longer and longer. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, and please leave a review. That way more people will find us. And if you happen to be in Paris, you can also listen to us on air on World Radio Paris on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and on Thursday at 5 p.m.
And if you like French music, check out our free playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Music or click the link on our website.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French.
We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.